Why did God create the world, and why did he create you? Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a baccalaureate service. Perhaps you're not even familiar with the term. A baccalaureate service is held around graduation time, sometimes at a school or other times at a church. It's similar to a graduation ceremony, but it has more religious content. Oftentimes, the speaker will be a pastor or a priest who will give some kind of uplifting message, praising the kids for all their accomplishments and challenging them to seek to achieve their potential as they go out into the world, blah, 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 blah. If you've ever been to a graduation ceremony, you know the type of things that you're likely to hear. Well, the year that one of my daughters graduated, I was asked to speak at a baccalaureate service. I accepted, but I really didn't want to give the same old, if you can believe it, you can achieve it speech. I wanted to talk about something bigger, much bigger. So the title for my message that day was, The Purpose of the Universe and Your Place in It in 30 Minutes or Less. Now, you can't tackle a bigger topic than that, can you? Let's see if we can tackle that same subject in a whole lot less than 30 minutes. Well, I don't remember all of what I said that day, but there were three main things I wanted to get across, and I'll give them to you here now, and then I'll expand on them a little bit as we go through. First was this. If God created the universe, which he did, he must have had some reason for doing so. The Bible says his reason was to display his glory. Number two, since you and I are part of this universe, God created, he must have had a reason for creating us as well. Number three, whatever God's purpose was in creating you, that is your reason and purpose for existing, whether you realize it or not. How about that first one? If God created the universe, then he must have had some reason for doing so. Now, notice I'm starting with the assumption that there is a God and that he is our creator. If there is no God and the universe just mysteriously exploded into existence out of nothing, and that the cooling stardust somehow eventually evolved into humans, then all talk of meaning and purpose is actually nonsense. I mean, think about it. If we came out of nothing and someday go into nothing, then we are nothing. There's a saying carved on an ancient Roman gravestone, an inscription, summed it up well. The man had this written on it. I was not, I was, I am not, I care not. If everything is a result of time plus matter plus chance, not only is the cosmos meaningless, but ultimately your life is meaningless as well. On the other hand, if God created not only the stars above you, but every cell within you, then it stands to reason that he had a reason for doing so. Well, what is the reason that God created the cosmos? According to the Bible, it was to display his glory. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And what is God's glory? Well, God's glory is his majesty, his greatness, his goodness, his worth, his value. Everything that makes God fabulous, wonderful, incredible, that's his glory. And everything God does, he does with the purpose of revealing his glory. I mean, think about our galaxy, the Milky Way. How many stars does it have in it? Well, scientists estimate that it has between 200 and 400 billion stars. But you know that they think that there may be as many as 2 trillion galaxies like ours in the universe? There are probably more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the Earth. Think about that the next time you're at the beach and you pick up a handful of sand. Well, what power was needed to put them all in place? A lot. And yet, in recording the fact that God created all these, the book of Genesis simply says, "And he made the stars also," as if like it was no big deal for him. And for God, it really was no big deal. He simply spoke a word and they appeared. Wow, that's cool. That's great. That's glorious. Or how about the complexity of a single living cell? Take a biology class. Marvel at how it all works together perfectly. But why? Well, because there's an infinitely wise God who made it that way. Or go to a saltwater aquarium. Look at all the bright, colorful fish with their strange shapes. Look at the beauty of flowers. Who is the artist who designed these? When you see the colors, what are you actually seeing? You're seeing the light wavelengths reflecting back on your eyes. Who made the light to shine? Or the eyes able to capture it and transmit it from your eyes to your brain to see the beauty? The idea that all this came about by chance is absolutely ludicrous. The reason people believe in evolution is because they want to escape The idea of a creator to whom they know they would be accountable. So God's purpose in creating the stars is the same as creating an atom. It's to display his glory, his greatness. That's the goal of God in everything he does. The second point, though, that I made was that since you and I are part of the universe that God created, he must have had a reason for creating us as well. Whatever that reason is our purpose, whether we realize it or not. I've often asked people, I say, well, what's your purpose in life? Usually they'll respond by saying something like, well, it's to be a good parent or to be successful. No. Those are your goals. I'm asking you, why do you exist? And of course, only our Creator can answer that. But does the Bible leave us without an answer to the question? No. Because he's revealed in the Scripture why we exist. It's for the same reason that everything else exists. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 4, verse 11, there's a scene where the inhabitants of heaven are surrounding the throne of God and they're praising him. And they say this, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." So mankind, like everything else in the universe, was created to display the glory of God. So just as an eagle soaring in the sky, or a shark gliding through the water, or a peacock with its colorful feathers fanned out, show the glory of the God who created them, so man was created to show forth the glory of God in whose image he was created. But here's where we're different from all the animals. They can display God's glory, but only man can enjoy God's glory. When an animal looks up at the stars, all it sees is points of light. When you look up at the stars, you not only see the light, but you know that it's coming from vast burning balls of fire billions of miles away. More than that, you can know that they were created by an infinitely powerful, super intelligent creator who knows about you and cares about you. I mean, you can respond by looking up at the sky at what God has made and say, "Wow, the most a dog can do is bark." The Westminster Confession asks this question in one part. It says, "What is the chief end of man?" And the answer it gives is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The reason God created man was because he was too good. God was too good to keep to himself. You were created by God, for God, to find your joy in God. The problem is that mankind has rejected God's purpose for us, and as a result, we're not only failing to bring him glory and honor, but we're destroying ourselves in the process. Now, if you want to know where humanity first took its wrong turn, listen to the next segment where we answer the question, if God made the world, why is it so messed up?